This morning, during the first service, I was thinking about a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6. So before we get started this morning, can you just look there with me at this verse, two verses actually, in 1 Timothy chapter 6. I was thinking this morning, what must have been going through the mind of Jesus 2,000 years ago on this day when he is walking into the city of Jerusalem, knowing full well what was going to happen to him in just 5 days. And remember, he did this deliberately. Scriptures say he set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. He wasn't backing down. And he knew he was going to be arrested. He was going to be beaten, humiliated, and put on the cross for everyone to look at and mock. And what's he thinking as he walks into Jerusalem? These people that I created have rebelled against me, have cursed me. And so I'm coming into Jerusalem to tell them all, hey, good luck. No. He's coming into Jerusalem to die for them. Isn't that amazing? First Timothy 6, halfway through verse 15. God, the blessed and only ruler, only ruler. I'm going to say that again. Only ruler. You got some free time this afternoon? If you don't, make some. And read Isaiah 45. And count the number of times in that one chapter where God makes a statement like, I am the only God. Just count the number of times in Isaiah 45 that he makes that kind of statement. I am the only God. The King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal, and who lives in unapproachable light. You get that? He lives in unapproachable light. Do you remember Isaiah chapter 6? Isaiah the prophet has a vision of God in the temple. And when he realizes it's God that he's looking at, he makes a statement like this: woe is me. In today's English, that would come out as, I'm a dead duck. I'm a dead man. I have unclean lips. I live amongst people who have unclean lips. And I'm standing here in the presence of God who lives in unapproachable light. Remember what God did in Isaiah 6? He sent over one of the angels with a lump of coal and touched Isaiah's lips. Now you're clean. This is our God. This is the only God. He doesn't want to condemn us. He wants to forgive us. King of kings, Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. And Jesus walks into Jerusalem. And as a mother hen loves her chicks, he gathers the people in under his wings. And he dies on the cross because we rebelled against him. The love of God amazes me. Last week we read about Jesus talking to his disciples during that week. And he said, I'm going away. But don't worry, it's a good thing that I go away. It is to your advantage that I leave you. Because unless I leave you, I can't send the other comforter. I can't send the Holy Spirit. I can't send the advocate who is not going to be amongst you. He's not going to be amongst you. He is going to be in you. The God who lives in unapproachable light is in us. Let me know when you figure that out, okay? I can't. I have a glass here. This glass is empty. Now, I know you people. And before someone shouts out, no, it's not, there's air in it. I know you. There's one in every crowd. And in this group, there's more than one. There's three or four or five. This glass is empty. Question. How can I remove the air from inside this glass? How can I remove every ounce? That's not right. Don't measure oxygen in ounces. How can I remove every atom, there you go, every atom of air from inside this glass? How do I do it? Pardon me? If I fill the glass with water, will there be any air left in the glass? Now, I know you guys. Oh, there's oxygen in water. You're going to ruin every illustration I can come up with. How do you remove the air? You fill it with something else. Do you get the point here? You get the point? This glass is you and me. What's the air? The air is sin. The old nature. How do you get rid of sin in your life? You fill it with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a great illustration? I didn't come up with it. I read that in D.L. Moody, so it's got to be good, right? Why are you here this morning? Some people might be here because, well, it's tradition. It's Sunday morning. That's what you do on a Sunday morning. You go to church. And it's a good tradition to have. Some people might say, well, I want to be a good example to my kids. So I brought my kids here and I stayed for church. That's a great idea. Some people might say, well, I'm here because I want to learn from God's Word. Super. I am here because I wanted to worship God. Great. I got a better reason. I should want to come here because I want to experience God. I want God to change me. I want a life-changing experience. I want God to use me. And I've come here this morning to meet with Him. Is there something more to life than getting up, going to work, coming home, watching a little TV, go to bed, get up, go to work, come home, watch a little TV, go to bed? Is there something more to life? I remember when I was young. Okay, I'll change that. When I was younger. Just day before yesterday. I had several opportunities to take kids on short-term mission trips throughout the summer. Took kids to Ireland, Philadelphia, Guatemala, Mexico. Several times went to Mexico. In Mexico, we worked with an organization down there called Adventures in Missions. And this is what we did. We would go down, and in 1 week, 5 days, we would build a house. Now, don't be too impressed, okay? These houses were 10 by 12 sheds. Some of you, I'm sure, have a shed in your backyard that is bigger and better than these houses that we were building in Mexico. I was never so glad in my life that I didn't speak Spanish. I always say the only Spanish I know is what I read on the menu at Taco Bell. I didn't speak Spanish, so I didn't have to meet with these people who would line up every day to beg us to come and build them a house. I kid you not, these were people who were living with four stakes stuck in the ground. They took a plastic garbage bag, ripped it open, and spread it on those four stakes, and that was their house. And here we are building them a 10 by 12 house. It was built on stilts, a foot off the ground, so when the floodwaters came, they would still have a house. It had wooden floors, and you're sitting there, oh, I have wooden floors in my house. No, no, no. These were 4x8 sheets of plywood. But a 4x8 sheet of plywood sure beats dirt. There were four walls. There was a roof, a slanted roof. It had rolled tar paper and rolled shingles on top of that. Rain wasn't coming into this house. It had two windows. It had a door. And they were lined up, begging us to come and build them a house. We spent every morning for 5 days building this house. Well, the kids did. I spent 5 mornings teaching kids how to hammer nails. No, you got to saw that wood. Where's the power saw? There's no electricity. Here's a hand saw. How do you use this? You know? You would have loved it, Bruce. It was great. Every afternoon, we'd have a VBS with the kids. We'd have over 100 kids coming in. I don't know if they came to hear about Jesus or they came to build the crafts. Or they came simply because they wanted a peanut butter and jelly sandwich that we were going to give them. But they came. The last week, I always said that, you know, two guys could build this shed in a day, no problem, right? Took us 5 days with the kids, but that's okay. Every week, on Friday, we would have a special service. The team would surround this house. We would pray over it. And then we would present it to the family that were going to live in this house. I'll never forget the first year I went down there and was part of this. That Friday, I went into the house just by myself. Sat down on the floor, and I was completely overcome with the idea that God would use me to literally build His kingdom on earth. That was an experience I hope I will never forget. What I felt right there. And I've often said, man, wouldn't it be great if I could feel like that all the time? A year ago, I had a student at school come in during her study hall. And she had a question about the homework assignment from the Bible class that I was teaching. It was on the book of Daniel, chapter 9, chapter 10, I can't remember, where Daniel is given a look by an angel at the book of life. And so I asked the kids, in the homework question, what is the book of life? Girl came in. She didn't know. She sat down beside me in my desk and said, Mr. Montgomery, can you explain to me the book of life? Come on, huh? I mean, you beg for these kinds of things, right? I'd love to, Brooks, sit down and let's explain it. And afterwards, she asked another question. Mr. Montgomery, how do you get your name in the book of life? Oh, come on! We read some scriptures. We prayed together. She accepted Jesus as her Savior. Huh? Is this what life is supposed to be about? Is there something more to life? Oh, there sure is. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. If you're using your chapel or your pew Bibles, it's page 1228. And I'm sure that many people sitting here in this room right now can tell us what is in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. What is it? The armor of God. We're not talking about the armor of God, but that's okay. We're going to read these verses together. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. I wonder why Paul would have thought about an armor. Well, where is he? He's in prison, in Rome. And what is chained to this arm? A Roman soldier. And what is chained to this arm? A Roman soldier. These two Roman soldiers are sitting there clothed in armor. And the light bulb goes on. And Paul says, armor. Armor. Yeah, let's talk about that. Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the evil forces of the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Stand. You're not going to back down. You're not going to retreat. You're going to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then. Three times he said that. Is Paul making a point? Stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Verse 19, pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Remember? The chains. I am an ambassador in chains of this gospel. The last thing he mentions is the only weapon he mentions that the Christian has. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That phrase, the Word of God, does not mean the Bible. Now, I have heard that before. I'm sure you have heard that before. It doesn't mean the Word is the Bible. God does not expect us to pick up a book and throw it at our enemies. That's not the Word of God. The word here in Greek is the word rhema. It's a more better translated a specific saying of God. Do you remember when Jesus was in the wilderness and he was tempted by Satan? How did Jesus respond to those three temptations? He quoted a verse. Three times. Where did those verses come from? Where in the Old Testament? Deuteronomy. Okay. When was the last time you read the book of Deuteronomy? Some Christians might respond with, Deuter who? Jesus took his devotions from the book of Deuteronomy. Good enough for Jesus, good enough for us, isn't it? A specific saying of God is how Jesus responded to those temptations. And Paul is telling us here in Ephesians, the sword is those specific sayings of Jesus that we can fly in the face of the devil when we are faced with spiritual evil. Hebrews 4:22 or 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Hosea, therefore I cut you in pieces with my prophets. I killed you with the words of my mouth. Isaiah, he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Revelation 19, out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. This is the power that is in the Word of God. Sitting in front of you, you have a list of jobs of the Holy Spirit. Now, several years ago, I passed out this list before. At that time, there were only 17 jobs. I've added four more. Notice the note I have down at the bottom. This is not meant to be a complete list. Feel free to add to it. Okay? But look at Job 21. To help us recall portions of God's Word that we need right then and there. Do you remember all those verses that you learned in Sunday school? I don't. I've forgotten them. I know I have. I memorized hundreds of verses. Usually it was to earn my way to camp during the summertime. But guess what? They're still in there. And right when I need it, that's when the Holy Spirit is going to go, hey, remember that verse? And boom, there it is. The power of the Holy Spirit living in us to remind us of portions of God's Word that we need right then and there. Portions of God's Word that are powerful. I want to read a verse of one of my three favorite hymns, as Lance would always say. This is by Martin Luther. Mighty Fortress is Our God. Remember that one? The Prince of Darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. God's word. Just one saying. Powerful. And that's what's in us. And Paul is saying, use that sword, which is both defensive and offensive. Use that sword to fight against the spiritual evil that's in the world all around us. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, we read about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Sound like you? Sound like you? Here's the question I asked that you can almost read. Does this describe anyone you know? Does it? Jesus? That's the right answer, okay, in case you didn't know. What is the job of the Holy Spirit? One of His jobs is to mold us into the image of Christ. To create inside of us love. How hard is it to love other people? Come on. Can we be honest? How easy is it for you all the time to love your spouse? Right? Right now, every husband in this room would go, ah, honey, I love you all the time. Yeah, that's good. It's hard to love people. You know, Sunday morning, when whoever is leading the singing tells us to turn around and shake someone else's hand, greet one another, love each other. Sometimes they even tell us to hug each other, right? Do you ever think, or is this just me? Can't I just text them? It's hard to love others. Especially that idiot that cut you off on the road this morning driving to church. I had two of them. Love them? Man, that's a tough verse, isn't it? That's the job of the Holy Spirit. If we let Him, to make us into that kind of person. Another verse, Ephesians 5. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, I could ask anybody here this morning, is there anybody here that has ever been drunk? I'm not going to do that. Put your hands down, keep them down. But if you've ever been drunk, you know a drunk person has no self-control over what they say, over how they behave, even what they look like, right? Paul is making a comparison here. You're not supposed to be like that, but you are supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that your speech, your behavior, even what you look like is influenced by the Holy Spirit that is living inside of us. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the problem with problems is? We tend to think of them and nothing else. I got a problem. When was the last time you gave thanks to God in the midst of your problems? That's hard to do, isn't it? If you're not doing it, are you filled with the God Spirit? Now, I know some people here are going to say, well, Bob, how do you get filled with the Spirit? That's not the important question. Here's a more important question. Do you want to be filled with God's Spirit? Do you get up every morning going, God, what do you want me to do? God, what restaurant am I supposed to go to after church today? God, what am I supposed to say to the waitress when they come and wait on me in this restaurant? You know, we sang before I preached here, step by step lead me, right? Life happens. Life happens all the time, and sometimes things in life really shake us up. And we stop thinking about love, joy, peace, goodness. We stop thinking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And when life shakes us up, what comes out? Not love, joy, peace, and gentleness, right? But if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you get nervous, Don? You should be. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that's what should come out. When life shakes you up, it's not what you expect. It's God. That's what comes out. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Step by step, lead me. This is this 100% thing that I really have trouble with. Remember the story that Jesus told of a person who found treasure buried in a field? And Jesus said, this guy is going to go home. He is going to sell everything he has to buy that field. He is going to be 100% committed to the purchase of that field. Are you 100% committed to walking step in step with the Spirit? That's a tough one. People might look at you as a little weird. And let's face it, no matter what age we are, we all want to appear cool, don't we? Not just kids. It's us. And God, if I'm really committed 100% to serving you, to living the way you want me to live, am I going to be cool? We call it cool. But the Bible calls it lukewarm. Get it? Be filled with the God's Spirit. That should be the first thing in our minds every morning. I wake up and I say, God, what do you want me to do today? To serve you. I want to make a difference because I have God living inside of me. The early disciples turned the world upside down. We should be doing the same thing today. Close in prayer. Father, you know that we have difficulty with this 100% thing. And Lord, we're just going to be honest with you this morning. And we're going to plead with you to change us, to mold us into the image of your Son. So that we will be people that are filled with your Spirit. People that have a purpose in living life. People that are going to make a difference in this life. People that are going to serve you every single day. Father, fill us with your Spirit. And give us that life that we want. We pray this in your Son's name because he loved us. Amen.